Friends, we are so glad to be launching and starting this fall. This next 3 weeks, we're going to be going through a series that you might be familiar with. It's called the Talmudin. And the Talmudin, if you don't know the word, as we talked about it last year, it just means the group of disciples. A group of disciples who are committed to following a rabbi. And so we, as followers of Jesus, we are the Talmudim of Jesus. And our three goals in what it looks like to be disciples, there's three things that we are looking at. It's to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what he did. And so as we are talking about this idea of really focusing this year, and especially these next 3 weeks, on this idea of what does it look like to become, we did a series after Easter called Acts, where we wanted to become the church. Our desire is to become the church that God has called and created us to be. And then this series and this year, we really want to become the disciples of Jesus. And so as I thought about this becoming, I thought back in my life, like, when was a time that I was really just like marked by this idea of becoming? And it was when I was in elementary school, the first time that I was like, I want to be it. And the person that I wanted to be an apprentice under was Michael Jordan. Who didn't? Like, who didn't have, like, the jacket, right? I mean, who didn't have, like, the 23? Who doesn't have, like, a pair of Jordans, like, right now? Like, that you own? Maybe you're not wearing it now, but iconic. I mean, I started, to the chagrin of my mother, started chewing gum, like, really hard. And my teachers, right? You know, because you always saw him in timeouts. He's like, just chewing, right? I had the whole, I practiced to a T, like, when I'm going for a layup, the tongue out, you know? Like, right? Because I couldn't dunk. I mean, I was sixth grade. Come on, I couldn't dunk. I had a friend that could dunk. You know, and then, like, I even practiced the iconic 1998 last shot of Michael Jordan when he pushed off of Russell and then made from the elbow. I was like, the elbow is, like, the shot. And I could hit that shot all the time. Like, if you put me there, I'm like a 90% shot. And I just remember that. And I was an apprentice of Michael Jordan. I was like, I was doing basketball in middle school and then in high school. And I was doing really good. I was like, I wanted to be like Michael and be like one of the best defenders. And then I got shot down. And I wasn't an apprentice anymore. Because my sophomore coach said a couple things to me. He's like, Austin, you're really good at defense. But you're white and you're under 6 feet. And I was like, crush my dreams. But coach, I can make that shot. Just put me on the elbow anytime. I'm not going to score 40, but I can get you a good 15, you know, whatever. But, you know, I was just like, I was an average offensive player. I was not tall. Everybody in my family is over 6 feet. I thought I could do it, and I'm the only one under 6 feet. It's personal. It hurts. I need a little moment of therapy, okay? But this idea of, like, becoming an apprentice is all of what we're trying to do. Like, I think in our lives, we are always a desire to become something. And so the question that this morning that we're going to talk about is, as disciples of a rabbi, you are being formed in the way of that rabbi. Just like, I want to be like Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was my rabbi. But now Jesus is my rabbi. I put aside Mr. Michael Jordan for Jesus, somebody better. And this question that we're asking is, who is forming you? Who is forming you? And so I want you to join me. I'm going to look at scripture this morning. We're looking at just a few verses in Luke chapter 6. So if you have your Bible in front of you, whether it's digital or physical, I'd encourage you to open it up to see it again, the context around it. So this is Luke chapter 6, verses 39 and 40. If you can't see it, it'll be on the screen. And he told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the master, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. I'll read that one more time. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? Both the rabbi and the student fall into a pit. The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Will you join me in prayer? Father, we have all been created by you. There is a place where we are longing to know you. We are longing to be with you, to hear from you, to know you. And for some of us, we might be on this journey for a long time in pursuit of you, but not a lot has changed. So we're left with that question, God, are you real? So this morning I pray, God, that you would send the Holy Spirit as an answer to that longing in all of us that you are real and you are here. And if you are both real and you are here, there's nothing else we want. So God, would you open our eyes to see? Would you open our ears to hear? Would you open up our minds and our hearts for what you have for this morning? We ask this in your name. Amen. Friends, the reality is that we are all students. And we all have teachers. And the question is, like, if we are students, who is your teacher? Who is the one that is forming you? The question isn't if you are being formed. Right now, when you woke up here and when you leave, you will be formed. There is something in your life that you are a rabbi under, whether consciously or unconsciously, that you are being formed by. And if you're not, you think you're like, I'm not being formed by, then we are a little bit delusional to say that the world around us isn't trying to form you in some way of a student, right? Like I said, like people don't just create shoes like Air Jordans so that they're just like, oh, they want everybody to consume, to wait for the next release and to wait for that up at 2 a.m. to get the first pair. Like everybody is a student. So the question isn't if you are a student, you are a student. Jesus even says it in the text. Every student, everyone is being formed. So if you're a student, the question is, who are you formed to be? Jesus also said this in Luke chapter 10. He says this. I think this is really important. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. And the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will return from him because they don't know his voice. Here's the thing. If you are a student and you are in consistent proximity to your rabbi, to your teacher, you know the voice when they speak to you. You know the rabbi's voice, that you have a teacher who is the shepherd in the text, and you have the sheep. And he says, the shepherd is the one who leads, and the sheep are the ones who know and who follow. And they follow because they know his voice. And they also know when other voices come trying to form them, that they will leave that which is trying to woo them, to bring them, and they'll come back to the one that they know, or the one that they love. And so here's the thing. The voice that you recognize right now is the voice that you listen to. The voice that you listen to is the voice that you will obey. And the voice in which you obey is the voice that you will become like. It's not rocket science. It's this natural progression that if you listen and recognize a voice and then you recognize it and obey, and we do this all the time. Like, I want to do this with my kids. I want the kids to recognize my voice. So at a moment of emergency, when they're trying to cross the street and they don't see something coming, I can yell, stop, and what will they do? Okay, we're going to start a growth group called Parenting 101, and everybody's required. Grandparents and everybody, because wow. We try that again. When I yell at my kid to tell them to stop, what do they do? Stop. I'm so proud of you. Okay, maybe we'll cancel that. No, for real. Like, so I want them to recognize, and they obey. And then as they obey, they'll be formed by me. So when I say stop, and they're like, oh my gosh, I had this happen down on Front Street, you know, in Issaquah, when all those streets are coming by, and you have the crossing, and we are crossing, and this person decided, you know, they were trying to catch that light because you can never catch it. And it's 25 on that road. They were going like, he's 45. And I had my daughter, and she was skipping out. And I said, stop. And she stopped. But the car, like, just got past us. And I realized if she didn't stop, she'd have been creamed. And then we had the conversation afterwards. It's not just about getting to listening and obey. That's the first part of it. It's not only listening and obey, but it's being formed. So we had the conversation. Why did I tell you to stop, and why did you stop? Because I'm trying to keep you safe. I'm trying to teach you to look both ways, because people don't care about you. They care about the light. They care about getting where they're going. And so I'm trying to form you in this way that you listen to my voice, you obey, and you come towards me. I remember this year, and maybe some of you students have this feeling of like when you're getting student, like teacher assignments, like you're feeling a little nervous about who's your teacher going to be, like you know so many teachers. And I did this. We had our son, Stephen, who's starting kindergarten, our youngest, and we're like, okay, who's he going to get, right? We've never done the kindergarten thing because we moved to our school here in Mead, and our kids were in, you know, second and fourth grades. And so we did it. We've never experienced the kindergarten teachers. And so we're like, who are we going to get? What's it going to be like? And I remember this like angst in this of my heart of like, who is going to be forming my son for the next year? His first experience in school is not going to just be one that's just like, oh, that's a teacher. What I'm going to realize is that this teacher has the ability to form him in both not only the knowledge of reading and writing and math, but also in social and emotional. Like, we talk about this a lot in school, right? They don't just do like just math and stuff. Like, they're talking about social. This person's gonna have influence in forming, and so I'm not the sole former anymore. Or maybe my voice isn't as loud. And so I had this thought about, like, who is my teacher? Who is your teacher this morning? Like, who is your rabbi? Maybe some of you, it's friends. Like, I, you know, when you get to that stage where your friends are trying to have more influence than the parents, the voice of the parents. Like, who is your teacher? Is it your family? Are these the ones that you listen to? Is social media your teacher? Is the American dream your rabbi? Is a political party the one which forms you most? Is the drive for success and the achievement of more and greater the thing that forms you? And I'll even say it here, is your pastor your one who's forming you? And one of the things that I will must say most, like, that hurts my soul, that it has happened, it can happen, and it will happen in the American church, where the disciples are the Talmudim aren't of Jesus in the church, but they are of that pastor. And when that pastor leaves, those people leave. And I can't tell you anything more destructive in the church. This is when the body is contingent on the person on the stage. Like, my prayer is that when we look back here, that you are not my disciple, but we're looking at what's behind whoever is speaking. That Jesus is the one in which we are all following. I am not bigger or greater or taller than the one who is behind. And so if you in this morning are saying, like, I wonder if Austin's preaching or Becca's preaching or Kyle's preaching or even pastors who have left are like, oh, I just wish they were back. I need you to check yourself. Because this is the person we follow. This is the Talmudim of who we are. My prayer is that we will become a church that if any of our pastors, anybody on staff is here 2, 3, 7, 10, 20 years, that the community of God will be the community of God, be the Talmudim who is following after Jesus, that believes this is the place that they are called, and so they stay. Because the Lord has called them, not their pastor. And so this morning, when we talk about who is forming you, we understand that everyone, and I understand the power that I have to stand up here and to form. But becoming an apprentice, another thing we need to know is becoming an apprentice is never an accident. It's a choice. It's never an accident. You don't just come here or come or walk anywhere and all of a sudden become an apprentice of something. Unlike teachers who are assigned to us, it's not an accident. It's on purpose. It's a choice. We're not just by accident finding an apprentice. We are assigned an apprentice by the choice in which we make. We are not assigned. We sign up. It's not just all of a sudden we find our name written in a rabbi or written in a class or in a school or in a job or something like that. You sign up. Nobody signs up for you. You sign up for yourself. The evil one is way too clever. The world is way too clever to leave your apprenticeship to chance. Nothing in this world is like, oh, let's just like do enough and maybe they'll choose us. Like, every marketing department in the world will be fired because they haven't said, like, ours is the best. Our football team is the best, right? Like, this is it. Like, we are apprentices. Like, the marketing, like, departments and social contracts, trends, psychological behavior, brain chemistry is not left up to chance. The phones that you have, the things that you watch are studied so that they can get more of you. Everything and everyone is vying for your apprenticeship. Like, I want to give you kind of context. Like, nothing's an accident. Like, when you go to the store, in the grocery store, and you're walking down the aisles, the things that are on the middle shelves are they're not just there because whoever's stocking them thinks it looks good and it has a good thing. Like, they are paid to have the middle section, right? They are paid for us as adults to buy those products. And then what is below them on the lower shelves are for those lower eyeballs, those kids, to say, ooh, I see all of these like shiny characters, and I see all the fruit snacks, and I see all the candy right down there, you know, and all the kids. The worst part, like marketing geniuses. I hate going to the grocery store with my kids, not because of all those things. I can like walk around the outside and get back, da-da-da-da. But then we get to checkout in the impulse section. Oh, Lord, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare for all of us. Who doesn't want a Reese's peanut butter cup? Who doesn't want candy? Who doesn't want chocolate? Like, oh, my gosh, in my last moment. Or even like, ooh, man, I get to, like, see the magazines. What is Prince Harry up to right now? Like, right? Like, let's be honest about it. Like, right now, Justin Timberlake. Uh-huh. Like, right? Like, we are just, like, it is not made up to chance. Everything is vying for your attention and your formation. And this morning, the reason why it's so imperative that we at the church understand this so bad, that the moment that you walk is a vying for not just part, your total allegiance. If we don't understand that, we will become teachers. We become apprentices of any teacher that happens to come our way, that has another shiny thing. So as apprentices, our job right now and today, when we talk about this idea of becoming, the becoming an apprentice of Jesus, be a Talmudine of Jesus, is to move from an unconscious apprenticeship and formation to a conscious formation. To move from a haphazard forming to an intentional forming. That you don't just become an apprentice of Jesus because you show up on Sunday morning. To move from a secular to a scriptural formation. To be formed not always by what someone thinks, but what is in the living word of God. That these red letters and that the word that Timothy says, this is God breathed. It's just not words on a page. It's not a scientific, you know, or a science fiction novel. It's not a historical novel. It is living words. And we don't go from a, we need to move from a bystander disciple or apprentice to a participatory disciple. We cannot be formed no longer on the sidelines, but we got to get in the game and begin to see that the ways and the things that I choose actually form me. And that happens through one way. The becoming like Jesus happens through transformation and not conformation. Not confirmation, conformation. The way that you are formed. It happens in transformation. Confirmation, conformation is, in definition, is the ability to comply or behave. It's about rules and regulations, which you are conforming yourself in a way to fit in with what is the expected outcome. Like students, like this is the thing that you do all the time. You are conformed in classes. You want to get enough information so that when the test comes, what do you get? An A or a good grade. Like, okay, oh my gosh. Can we talk about that? B's are fine, okay? Parents, I just busted all your bubbles. B's are fine. My mom said I was only allowed one C in my entire career. I used it in Spanish too. Just use it wisely. I'm just going to say that. B's are fine. But that conforming is about this ability to impute knowledge and information and then regurgitate it when it is needed and expressed. That this conforming way that we are being formed, we conform not to anything, but it's similar in form. Like, that's the thing, is like, it's almost like this. You know, like you're being formed and you are in similar formation. Like, you're similar, but you're not like, it's like the things that you said, as seen on TV, right? Like, you get the actual products, but then the person that says, if I can make a cheaper product that looks similar to it, you'll probably buy it. Why? Because it's cheaper. Right? Like, that's why everybody, like, when you go to the store and you like the Duracell batteries that are like, oh man, these are the best. And then you have the Kirkland brand. Buy the Kirkland brand, it's better. But this is the thing, is like, what happens is often we get this place of like, you want to be similar, but not too close. You want to be as close as you can, but not too similar. But that's conforming. Often in our discipleship, I'm going to say it. I didn't want to put it on in here, but I'm just going to say it. And when it comes to conforming, there is a difference between a Christian and a disciple. We always said we would sell the truth here to each other. Sometimes I don't want to because it hurts. There's a difference between a Christian and a disciple. A Christian is conformed to the patterns and the expectations of often culture more than Jesus. What gets us similar to Jesus, but doesn't make us so radical that we look different, we talk different, and so it takes us out of social circles because we're the oddballs. Trust me, I live that as a student. But students, can I give you a terrible word this morning? Look at your parents. Look at the adults. We are still scared to death to do stuff that's so radical that makes us feel weird and on the outskirts. We love to fit in. I'm gonna be honest. Love to fit in. Love to fit in. We can't conform any longer to the patterns of this world. It says it in Romans 12. You can't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, and then you will be able to test, approve that God's will is his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Transformation is the complete change of character and appearance. You don't just look similar, but the insides has been completely transformed, changed in substance, not to something that is just for each person, but as disciples and rabbis that our transformation, that the inside of us is characterized, our character and the way we thought is goes through a change, a metamorphosis, not into something that gets close, but is Jesus. That the Holy Spirit is, you are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't just cover you, but it invades your very being. Transformation is not being like, but of being of the same substance. And we think about this idea of Christian and a Talmudim, that the Christian looks similar, but the Talmudim, somebody that you know is a disciple of Jesus, and you look at them and they're like, man, they are so eerily close to the substance of Jesus that I understand a glimpse of why Jesus was so attractive, was so like, I want to spend all my time with this person because they are of as similar as I can see of Jesus. And I want that. It's not about just knowing that person. It's about the transformation. And transformation is moving from an informational-based Christianity to an incarnational pathway of discipleship. That there's something that what this information and these practices, they do something not only interiorly to us, but exteriorly, we start to incarnate. In the same way, like we're talking about, in the same way that God was incarnate in Jesus, that we live an incarnational representation of Jesus right now. You are supposed to be God's representation to the world right now, an incarnate version of Jesus Christ to all those that you meet. Not similar, but of the same substance. This is transformation. And when it starts to happen, when this incarnational transformation starts to happen, Jesus says, in him you will have life and life abundantly. That transformation begins to bring life because he who is life is now in you, and thus you experience the life. To be conformed to the patterns of this world means that you feel like the rules and regulations are an oppression that they put on you, and it feels like following Jesus is a weight that you can no longer carry. Transformation and an intentional discipleship and being a Talmud of Jesus begins to create space in your life. You will find that as you become more like Jesus, you don't have less space. Less, you have more. And I wonder how much for you, I just want to sit on that word right now, more. How many of you are feeling like you just have less and less? And you want more? The only place to find it is Jesus. Because Jesus says not, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. He is the one who is the master of the way to live. If you are trying to find out someone to follow that will bring you life, you should go to the one who is the master creator of it. Like, why are we settling for anything other than the one who created life, the one who came and experienced life and lived the way that we should live? Why don't we look at Jesus and say, you are the best example of how to live. You lived the best life. Why am I looking for anybody else but you? I wonder if that question you ask is like, I'm seeking after life and I'm trying to find it in all these places. But every one of those things will be unfulfilled promises, empty void. The change begins to happen and you start to find life that is not fleeting, but it is eternal. You begin to seek not after what is temporal, but what is eternal. You begin to seek after things that not will drain you, but will fill you. You will experience a life that you long to go after and not feel drained after you experience it. I like giving like contextual things for us to understand. And I've heard this a lot. But there's a lot of times when I hear people that go on vacation, they come back and they're like, I need a vacation from my vacation. The lie that you've been sold is if you go on a vacation, you'll finally find this space for rest and healing and renewal. And then you come back and you're like, that was anything but. Because you're trying to seek it in something else. And then when you go there and you're like, oh, this is the penultimate. I'm in the place and the space and the food and all. I mean, I got to be around the food, like, right? Like, and you're all in this place and you're like, oh my gosh, yes. And then you come home and you're like, dang. And you're like, man, I need a vacation from it. I'm not finding life in this anymore. And I was like, yeah. Because you're looking after the wrong thing. And it's in a person. We are the apprentices of Jesus. We are called to become like him, that a life that is more full than you've ever dared experience. This is what I'm saying. If you have been a Christian for any amount of days, and you feel like, oh man, I'm at a plateau or I'm down on a downward part of the roller coaster in my relationship with Jesus, I have a question for you. Are you a Christian or are you a disciple? Are you one that looks similar or have you have the same substance? So this series, we're going to go through this idea of what it looks like to become the disciples of Jesus. Will you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, you have been here this morning and you have been speaking. I know it. I have heard you. So we take a breath literally right now. We say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me this morning? Maybe, Father, turn down the noise in our life so that we might hear. What's not for our jobs, for our parenting, for our classes? What's for us? Deep down in our identity. Lord, what are you saying to us? Holy Spirit, you are not going to be done speaking when we say amen, but you will continue to. So in that promise, we say amen.